chapter 10. That's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to be thinking about blind Bartimaeus. Jesus is in the last portion of his ministry, and they are, that is Jesus and the disciples, are on their way to Jerusalem. He's told them what will happen when he gets there. And they're drawing very close at this point. We're going to be reading Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. This is God's holy word. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. We will end our reading here. Let's come before the Lord and ask for his help. Lord, we do come to you this morning needing something of a miracle, Lord. We don't need to hear the words of men, certainly. We hear that far too much. What we need to hear is your voice. Lord, what we need is encouragement from you. We need to be strengthened, Lord. Would you give us ears to hear? Lord, would you help us? Would you make it obvious? Sometimes we're so dull of hearing and we question the Spirit. We wonder if it's ourselves, what are we hearing, Lord? Would you make it super clear to us? We need to hear from you. Lord, we'd ask these things for your own glory's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's a question, I guess, that I'm going to start off with right away. Are you in need of restoration? As you sit here this morning, do you find yourself in a place where you need to be restored? Is your walk in need of restoration? How about your prayer life? Is that in need of revival? Is your heart in need of restoration, revitalization? Do you feel like you're running out of gas, like you're on fumes? You're wondering if you're even going to make it to the next gas station. How about your marriage? Or maybe it's another relationship that needs mending. Or maybe it's some physical ailment and you are in need of healing. Well, our passage this morning is about restoration. It's about blind Bartimaeus, and he's restored, isn't he? We see that in verse 52. He recovers his sight. And Mark, the author of this passage, wants you to know that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah 35. Jesus is the Lord come in the flesh. Mark 10, 46 through 52 says that Jesus is the Messiah who saves those who put their faith in him. This passage teaches that you ought to come to Jesus for restoration. Like Bartimaeus, you ought to cry out to Jesus. So, as we think about this passage, I want to point you to him, to his character. What is he like? What was the Lord like? He's so unique. That's not the word, though. He's fantastic. He's glorious. He's extraordinary. He truly is holy. He's like no one else. Let's begin considering the character of the Lord Jesus. First, we see that Jesus halts for those who cry out to him. Jesus halts for those who cry out to him. Jesus and his disciples have been making their way to Jerusalem, and along the way they pass through Jericho. Now, Jericho is a city about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem and about 5 miles west of the Jordan River. They're getting close. And it was a beautiful city, Jericho. It was beautiful. It had recently been refurbished by the Herodians, who had made it the site of their winter palace. And now, as Jesus came into Jericho, he was in the company of his disciples, as well as numerous pilgrims who were all making their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And you probably know that it was customary for distinguished rabbis to travel with something of an entourage. Their disciples would walk in tow behind them, and they would teach them as they traveled from place to place. But what wasn't customary was the size of the crowd that was following Jesus. It was huge. Our text says that it was a great crowd. And passing through Jericho only compounded the size of the crowd that was following Jesus. And by this time in Jesus' ministry, virtually everyone had heard about him and wanted to see him for themselves. They wanted to know what was going on. Verse 46 says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." Now, Bartimaeus was a pitiful sight. He had probably woken up that morning off of the ground only to shake the straw and the dirt and the filth that was on his garments. And then he would have begun tapping his way down the familiar roads of Jericho, begging along the way and hoping that someone would have mercy on him and give him maybe some old bread, some water, anything that might help him. And then he would go and he would take his familiar spot where he would beg. Beggars then aren't much different than beggars now. They have their spot. You see that same man or that same woman on the same corner all of the time. They fight amongst themselves for their spot. Bartimaeus had his, and he took his spot. Bartimaeus, he saw the world through his ears. He would have sat there that morning listening to the city come to life. He heard the sounds of the donkeys passing by, loaded with merchandise as they made their way to the marketplace. He heard the sounds of women talking to one another as they carried their water pitchers to the well. And as the city began to come to life, well, Bartimaeus started his job. He started calling out with his beggar's call. But after a while, Bartimaeus heard something different. Something unusual and strange. A great crowd was approaching. There was a commotion. Children began running by him. People were passing him one after another. There was a certain excitement in the air as people were passing by. He knew something was happening. Bartimaeus grabbed on to the robe of a passerby and he asked what was going on. The parallel passage in Luke tells us that he asked what was happening. And it's likely that the passerby yanked his robe out of Bartimaeus' hands when he saw who grabbed him. And he answered, he said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth. Some say that he's the Messiah. He's been said to heal the blind and to cleanse lepers. Even those who are lame can walk." Perhaps Bartimaeus had already heard of Jesus from someone who had heard him or had seen his miracles. And you see, Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And now he was coming. The noise grew to a crescendo. The heart of the crowd was now in front of him. Intermittent hosannas rang out. The volume came to a beat, a peak. Bartimaeus was shook. This was his chance. Soon Jesus would be gone. He had to do something. Verse 47 says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus hadn't got to his feet yet. It was probably impossible. The crowds are pressing around him. If you've ever been in a big crowd, you know how hard it is to move. Plus, he was probably not in great physical condition either. But he was making himself heard. He was crying out pitifully, even from the ground. In a large crowd, he was calling out at the top of his lungs. Why? Because he was desperate. He was broken. He was so tired. He was in need of mercy. Bartimaeus wouldn't be silenced by the crowd. He believed, and he was in need. So he kept saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," over and over again, like a helpless infant who cries. You might remember what Jesus said in chapter 10, verse 15, just shortly before this party, this section we're looking at. He said, "Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Well, how does Jesus respond to the desperate cries of Bartimaeus? Look at verse 49. It says, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.'" You see, the cries of the poor and powerless person stops Jesus in his tracks. That's the character of the Lord Jesus. He instantly gives his attention to your cries. He cares for the broken, for the hurting, for those in need. He cares deeply. Are you in need? Do you find yourself desperate? Are you in need of restoration? Forgiveness? Cry out to Jesus. Make your voice heard. Jesus stops for those who cry out to him. And he wants you to bear your heart to him. You see, Jesus hears those who cry out to him. That is our second heading. Jesus hears those who cry out to him. What was it that Bartimaeus kept saying over and over again to everyone's distress? Right? He kept saying, "Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David." That's a blatantly messianic title. Jesus confirms that himself in chapter 12, verse 35. Bartimaeus is the only person in the Gospel of Mark who refers to Jesus as the Son of David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 14, God promised that he would raise up an offspring to David and that he would establish that offspring's throne and that his kingdom would be a kingdom that would last forever. This prophecy is regarding the covenant of grace, specifically the Davidic administration of the covenant. And the Davidic covenant is a promise about the Messiah. It's a promise regarding Jesus. God said that the Messiah, the Christ, would be one of David's descendants, and that this descendant would become a king and that he would reign forever. And pious Israelites were waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. They were waiting for a Davidic descendant as Messiah. And though Bartimaeus was certainly no theologian and probably didn't understand the full implications of what he was saying, he had come to an exalted conclusion about Jesus. Bartimaeus determined that Jesus was the Son of David. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah who came to bring healing and restoration. Verse 49 says, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus." You see, the instant Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was calling him, he threw off his moth-eaten cloak. Now you've got to understand, that is an extreme gesture for a blind man who would normally keep his cloak right where he could touch it. He wouldn't let it out of his grip. It's all that he had to keep himself warm at night. Although most people would be repulsed by it, it was valuable to him. It's one of the most valuable things he owned. It's as if he had so much faith, he knew he would no longer be needing it. And Bartimaeus sprang to his feet, and being guided by others, he stumbled his way to Jesus. Can you imagine Bartimaeus' thrill? Jesus stopped for him. If the heart of Bartimaeus was pounding before, what was it doing now? Could you imagine the sight of these two coming face to face? Jesus with the most penetrating eyes ever, who could see right into you, know everything about you. And the gaunt, dirty face of Bartimaeus with his sightless, sunken eye sockets. A man who was desperate, who had nothing to offer, who was in need of mercy. You see, this is the way to come to Jesus. Verse 51 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' Jesus asked, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" This is the same question that he asked James and John, his own disciples, in verse 36 of this chapter. And you might remember that James and John wanted extraordinary glory. They wanted to be second and third in the kingdom. Bartimaeus responds differently. The sons of thunder ask for extraordinary glory. Bartimaeus asks for ordinary health. Bartimaeus doesn't seek wealth or power or greatness according to the world's standards. He asks for sight. He wants to be restored. He wants to be normal. People with good health often take it for granted, but for the ill and for the troubled, normalcy can be God's greatest gift. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" He wants to hear from Bartimaeus. You see, Jesus is divine. He already knows what Bartimaeus will ask for, but he wants to hear from Bartimaeus. He wants to see him say it, hear his voice. You see, Jesus isn't mechanical. He's not robotic. You shouldn't think of Jesus as some sort of supercomputer. No, he is alive, and he is warm, and he is personal, and he is here. He can hear your voice. He can hear your thinking. He has the power and authority to do in this very room all of his holy will. He's present. Bartimaeus is right in front of Jesus, and he wants to be healed. He wants what seems impossible, so he says it softly, but he says it out loud. He says, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Are you in need? Are you hurting? Are you lonely? Are you broken? Is everything a mess? Does your problem, the problem you're thinking of, seem impossible to fix? Come to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Cry out to him. Say it out loud. Say it with tears. Let your heart break before the Lord like Bartimaeus. Refuse to be silenced. Even if in your own heart, your heart is telling you to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Cry out. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says that Jesus sympathizes with your weaknesses. You see, he knows you so well. He knows you so well. Everything about you, he understands. Hebrews says that those who come to Jesus in prayer will receive grace and mercy. Jesus hears those who cry out to him, and Jesus heals those who cry out to him. That is our third heading. Jesus heals those who cry out to him. So Bartimaeus gave Jesus his request. He said, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." He knew that he was pitiful looking. He had often been the object of scorn. He was painfully aware that he was blind and in perpetual darkness. Darkness was all he knew. He had passed from the darkness of his mother's womb straight into the darkness of the world. He had never seen a sunrise. He didn't know what colors were. He had never seen a blue summer sky. He had never seen his mother or father's face. He had never seen the face of anyone who loved him. Unlike so many who are in spiritual darkness, he knew exactly what his problem was. Verse 52 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight." The parallel passage in Matthew chapter 20 gives us a little more insight. It says that Jesus felt pity on Bartimaeus. Because Adam fell in the garden, sin and corruption came into this world. God made this world good. But Adam's sin brought things like sickness and disease into this world. His sin brought things like blindness into this world. The parallel passage in Matthew tells us that Jesus was moved to sorrow and compassion for Bartimaeus. You see, Jesus hates sin. And he hates the suffering caused by sin. The parallel passage says that that Jesus reached out and didn't just speak to Bartimaeus, but that he reached out and that he touched Bartimaeus, that he touched his eyes, and they told him to be healed and that he instantly received his sight. No surgery, no bandages, no recovery time, just in an instant, sight. Bartimaeus opened his eyes, and for the first time, he saw what human beings look like. He saw a gawking crowd who was shocked at what they were seeing. Silence had fallen on the crowd. Everyone's mouths were hanging open. Bartimaeus looked around, and for the first time, he saw blue skies, and he saw palm trees, and he saw the hills of Moab off in the distance. But the first thing he saw was the face of Jesus, the face of his Savior, the Son of David. Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." That word translated there, well, your faith has made you well, that's the translation of the Greek word sozo, to be made physically well or healed. But it's also the word for being saved. It's the Christian word for salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." That's the same word, sozo. When Jesus speaks to Bartimaeus, he is undoubtedly referring to both his physical and spiritual status. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Saved. How do I know that it's referring to both? Because faith that does not lead to discipleship is not saving faith. Let me say that again. Faith that does not lead to discipleship is not saving faith. Jesus transformed Bartimaeus from a beggar beside the road to a disciple on the road. Bartimaeus believed and he followed Jesus as Lord. Look at verse 52. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The parallel passage in Luke 18, verse 43 says, "And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all of the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." Do you know, out of all of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Bartimaeus is the only one who is healed, whose name is given to us. And because of that, some scholars believe that Bartimaeus was part of the Jerusalem church and that he was fairly well known, and so his name was recorded. If so, he witnessed the triumphal entry, the horror of the crucifixion, as well as the joy of the resurrection. He started off in this world as blind, but his eyes beheld the most spectacular moments in human history. Well, the crowd was astonished by what they saw. A miracle had taken place before their eyes. Bartimaeus cried out, and Jesus healed him. Do miraculous healings still take place? I have no doubt that they do. And yet we have to be careful here. When God answers our prayers for healing, he often does it through ordinary means. He does it by providing us with nurses and doctors and surgeons and medications, biblical counselors. Charlatans are looking to take advantage of you. They promise that they will regrow your hair if you only use their shampoo. I wish it were true. It's not true. They say you'll lose weight if you buy their pills. They say they can keep you from aging if you only buy their creams. You see, they look to take advantage of your longing for change and for healing. And some of these hucksters come in the name of Christ, promising healing that is contingent upon the strength of your faith and the size of your wallet. Shouldn't be surprised. Jude and 2 Peter warn us that these men will arise, and they do indeed arise in every generation. They are fakes, they are frauds, and judgment awaits them if they refuse to repent. The gospel promises forgiveness to remove shame. It promises to restore your relationship with God. It does promise ultimate healing and restoration, but in eternity. God doesn't promise that we will be without affliction. If you're afflicted, cry out to Jesus for healing and leave the timing in His hands. Trust Him. And know this, He is good. He is good. And that there is a reason for everything that we experience. You know, the Bible says that each one of us are born like Bartimaeus, that each one of us are born blind. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. Has Jesus opened the spiritual eyes of your heart so that you are no longer blind? Are you born again? Are you convinced that you're a sinner? Are you convinced? Do you understand what took place on the cross? Have you trusted Jesus as your only hope? Certainly I will be lost without Him. Has your faith led to discipleship? Is Jesus your Lord, your King? If you're in need of forgiveness, if you are in need of restoration, come to Jesus like a beggar in desperate need. With nothing to offer, with nothing to barter, vulnerable and in need of mercy. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for restoration. Look what kind of Savior He is. He hears the cries of those in need. He halts, hears, and heals those who cry out to Him. That is the character of the Lord Jesus, the Lord of mercy. Mark 10:46 through 52 says that Jesus is the Messiah who saves those who put their faith in Him. And this passage teaches that you ought to come to Jesus for restoration. Like Bartimaeus, you ought to cry out to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, are we not in need of Your help? You know that we are, Lord. So many of us in this room have come to You. Many of us long ago, and our new car smell has worn off. The honeymoon is over, and we walk on the road, Your disciples. And so often, Lord, we find ourselves in a place where we need restoration. You know that we go through times where we feel a distance from You. You know that. You gave us Psalms showing us that You are well aware of our disposition. Lord, would You help us? Would You reach Your arm around us? Would You revive our hearts? Would You fill us with Your Spirit? Would You help us to come before You broken? Would You help us to open our mouths, Lord? We think it should be so simple, and yet we struggle to come before You in prayer. Would You give us a desire to pray? Would You help us to block out the cares of this world, which cry out in our ears? Would You help us to set aside time to get on our knees before You, to speak to You. Lord, would you answer the cries of our hearts, revival of heart, revival of relationship. And Lord, if there should be anyone who not know you, oh, that they would cry out to you. Lord, we know that you will rejoice and embrace them. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, would you preach it into our ears loudly and often? We need to hear. Make your goodness shine before our eyes and ears, Lord. We need your help. We'd ask that you would hear our prayer in Jesus' name, for your glory's sake. Amen.